Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, what a feeling to be lying on the ceiling. Hello, welcome to a brand new series of Rahulastapa. It's amazing, we've been recommissioned. This is series 20, I'm over the moon, episode 301. With Ed Gamble, who is less cocky and rude than he usually is, but still very funny. Look, in November, I am doing lots of charity work because I'm just a great guy. All of the money we're making from Amazon subscriptions on Twitch and badge money is going to Movember. You can also donate to Movember with your own money, rahulastapa.co.uk/Movember with a little M. But if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can give us free money by linking your Amazon Prime and Amazon gaming accounts and then subscribing for the month, and £3.50 of your £5 that you don't even pay for will go to Movember. Also, your badge money, you get lots of extras if you become a monthly badger, including thousands of backstage interviews, well, hundreds, and other sorts of extras, a badge, membership card, secret code, emails, stand-up videos. All kinds of, I can't even list what's there. That's on gofasterstripe.com/badges. And I'm giving my gig and other money to Refuge and Scope. You can still get hold of a Christmas emergency questions book, which I will sign if you make a donation at rahulastapa.co.uk/scope. £10 or more. If you give £25 or more, I will write you a handwritten exclusive individual question and dedicate it to whoever you want. Just email me at herring1967@gmail.com after you have made your donation and give me your address and who you want the book dedicated to. Also, my book, The Problem with Men, is now out at all good bookshops. So if you're passing by, just press your nose against the window and have a look at it. I believe they do some books online now. So you can go to gofasterstripe.com and get one with a signed book plate, which I've drawn a cock on, plus a special badge. Or you can get the audiobook from wherever you get your audiobooks, Audible. If you go to Audible and you're not with Audible, you can do the monthly, just sign up. You get a free book take this, then just unsign up when you've listened to it, and you still keep the book, I believe, NEKDA, so you listen to whenever you want, and that book is for free, and I think I still probably counts as a sale. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But anyway, check out The Problem with Men. It'd be lovely if you'd buy that. If you've enjoyed it, please recommend it to friends. Please write a review on Amazon or wherever you get your books. I'm really pleased with it. So that's not something I say lightly. I think it is good. I'm my own worst critic, but my self-criticism is mediocre at best. Anyway, let's sit back, relax, and enjoy Rehearsal with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Edward Gamble. Hello, please welcome a man who has not thought of anything to say at the start. It's Richard Herring. Hello, it's me, Richard Herring. It feels like age since I've done one of these. It's only 2 weeks. We did one last week in a theatre where I was the guest. We'll talk about that in a sec. And I've completely forgotten everything. I put myself on screen during the countdown. What a fucking idiot. Welcome to Richard Herring's Luna Soda on Tap podcast. That's right. It's a topical reference if you're listening to the podcast from 2 weeks ago. We've got water on Earth, NASA, you idiots. What a waste of money that was. But I was hanging around with Kim Kardashian and her closest inner circle on a private island, pretending things were normal for a brief moment in time. And she calls it Rehearsal, apparently, so I don't know if that's going to catch on. I'm here. I'm on the island now. This is where you can see me luxuriating. It's wonderful here. I hope you're having a lovely time. And yes, so look, here's the stuff to worry about. Episode 300 went out last week. It was a wonderful thing, but you can still, if you're at home watching this on Twitch, you can watch it now. You can download it at rehearsal.co.uk/300. Pay some money to Refuge, and there's 30 minutes of extra, so even if you're watching this a week late, you can get the extras from that address as well. So please, all the money will go to Refuge. Over 1,000 people, that's got to be £8,000. I'm no mathematician, but that's pretty good. Lots of things are happening. I'm doing Movember in November, so I'll be growing a lovely moustache for you to enjoy. If you go to rehearsal.co.uk/Movember, you can sponsor me. I'm going to put all the money from Twitch streams and badges into that as well. So if you're on Twitch and you're with Amazon Prime, do subscribe in November and use your free subscription, and we can take Ian Amazon's money and give it to men with testicular cancer. And I think that is the best thing we can do with Ian Amazon's profits from the COVID time. Also, if you want to have a copy of Christmas Emergency Questions, oh no, it doesn't work against the background because it's green. For Christmas, I'll sign it. I'll even write a question in it. If you go to rehearsal.co.uk/scope, make a donation to Scope there, and then send me your address, and I'll send you a signed copy of Emergency Questions, or with an emergency question extra handwritten in it that I've done myself. That's for a bit more money, plus some free stickers while stocks last, and some free other stuff if you give enough much money. So go and do that. I'm just an amazing guy, I guess. That's all I can. I don't think Ed Gamble's doing it. I'm giving all the money I earn in November to charity. I'm just a great guy. I don't like to talk about the charity work I do. I'm doing a live Rehearsal, but hopefully if distancing allows, which I'm sure it seems it will, at the Alexandra Palace, the Ali Pally. I may take Ali and Sally with me to the Ali Pally. We have Robin Asquith as one of the guests. I don't know who the other guest is yet, but he's from Confessions of a Window Cleaner. It's going to be a new Brian Blessed, I can promise you that. Right, so that's most of that stuff out the way. Oh, look, my book's arrived, The Problem with Men. I've got a copy of it. It's available now. Not if you're watching it live. It's out on the 5th of November. So, look, here's my topical material from 2 weeks ago, or now if you're watching live. I'm very sad to see Frank Boff passed away. Let's have a look at him. There he is up there. It's just exactly like John Oliver, isn't it? He presses the buttons himself. He probably does, actually, at the moment. I was sorry to see him go, but in 1988, when he first got into trouble, I wrote my best ever joke. He took drugs and was found using sex workers. That seemed to be a problem at the time. He was literally the worst person who ever worked at the BBC for the awful things he consensually did. And there aren't many people
on TV taking drugs and having unusual sex, I can tell you. So I'm glad they weeded out the one person doing that. But anyway, I came up with a brilliant joke as a student, and I couldn't use it because I wasn't on TV. I did it to a cell of 20 people. My joke, too many cokes spoil the bath. Come on! And I can use it now. I could have been on Mock the Week with that. That would have all I've been to say. But also the other jokes, and then he went on to be never worked again. The other joke I had involving personality was me and Stuart Lee. We are very against the Groucho Club. When we started out, and we actually made a bet with each other that we wouldn't go. The first one to go to the Groucho Club had to give the other £100. Stuart was the first one to go, and he didn't give me £100, and that tells you the kind of caliber of person he is. But we didn't like it. You know, it's Groucho Marx based on he wouldn't be a member of any club that had him as a member, so they hilariously used it as Groucho Club for that. And my joke at the time about that was I wouldn't join the Groucho Club because I wouldn't be a member of any club that had Angus Deaton as a member. And then he got into trouble for taking drugs and having sex and stuff. Neat. Just the two. It was only Frank Boff and Angus Deaton. And thank God they weeded them out because there aren't any of those left now. There's no one on TV who's ever taken cocaine. Oh, dear. The other news, the topical news this week is this was the front page of the BBC website. And it's good to see this news make the news. This is Lily Allen. Masturbating in a relationship isn't wrong. That's the news. That's BBC news. Lily Allen has decided. And it's only a very short step, Lily, from understanding that you are correct. Masturbating in a relationship isn't wrong. And nor is having sex with a sex robot. That is, you're only one step away. It's the same thing in it, masturbating and having sex with a sex robot. You're building up to it, Lily, and I'm very glad that that is the front page of the BBC. And yet, Frank, imagine if Frank Boff had said that on Breakfast Time. He'd have been sacked immediately, and now it's on a BBC website. He must be turning in his grave, literally, now. He must be literally doing it. Anyway, look, fuck this. Let's get on with this show. I think I've done everything I was meant to do. Buy my book. Problem with Men, audiobook, ebook, hard. That's a hardback book. It's quite tiny. Look, it's not very long. Look how long it is. Not very long. You'll be able to read it in a day. It's good. So my guest tonight, he's known for a few things. He's probably known for playing himself on Most Annoying People of 2010. I don't know if that was. I don't know if he was talking about himself, but you'll know him for his hilarious character, Selsdon Krupp. That is what he's probably best known for. We'll talk at great length about that. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ed Gamble. There he is. That was the thing I found about you. Selsdon
Krupp. Yeah.
And for the few people who didn't see that character, can you... And I did see it, and I'm not really clear what the character was. Can you take us through
you should know what the character is, because the character's full name is romantic novelist Selsdon Krupp.
Okay.
So he's a romantic novelist.
He's a bit like Garth Marenghi.
Oh, it wasn't just a little bit like Garth Marenghi. It was Garth Marenghi, but exclusively dick jokes. It was Garth Marenghi, Alan Partridge and David Brent. I did it when I was a student. I got to the final of the Chortle Student Comedian of the Year competition, yeah. And I was very happy with that.
You were very confident.
The biggest backhanded compliment you can give any comedian ever. Really great confidence, man. So confident.
Well, it's interesting. John Cairns was on the other week, and there's from a similar vintage, maybe even the same year, there is a clip of him from the Short Student Awards. He isn't fully formed as a comedian at that point, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see that there's some jokes and stuff in yours, that make sense.
Yeah, there's some jokes that made sense, and I was confident. That's the thing. Like, those, they're quite good gigs to do when you're a student, because you actually get an audience and they're proper gigs. But he films them, and then when you become a professional comedian, he refuses to take them down. So, thank fuck, it was a character name, and some people are smart enough to also pick different names or change their name when they get into professional comedy. But imagine trying to get gigs, and they're like, well, just Google a video of you. Oh, wait, you're awful. You're dying on your ass at a student union.
Oh, dear. It's good. You should be proud of it. You should be very proud of it.
What do you remember about... proud of my confidence.
what do you remember? And that was only 2 years later. You were on Most Annoying People of 2010, or maybe 3 years later. I guess it was the end of
3 years later. Yeah.
I guess they wait till the end of 2010 to decide who was the most annoying person of 2010. Do you remember?
I have absolutely no memory of anyone that we talked about, because I did it when I was in a double act with Ian Boldsworth, and we did it together.
All right.
And all I remember about that is we did a bit about someone who was in the background of a news report doing something silly, and we reenacted it, and Ian went behind me, and I didn't know he was doing this. He just dropped his trousers in the background of the shot, and I just remember that made the edit. I turned around. It was very funny. But that, I think that was one of my first TV gigs.
It must
very
have been,
happy
yeah.
with that.
Must have been. I mean, I'm amazed neither of those two. You've had two introductions already, and neither of those two made it. So that's four things. I want to be fair.
Yeah.
Last time you were introduced as Ed Gamble from Love Island, so that wasn't.
Yeah,
really
that doesn't
you.
Count. That doesn't count.
Is that passed on now? The Love Island.
It occasionally rears its head now and again. I'd say I get a message a week of someone going, "Oh, what's the bloke from Love Island doing that?" I just really want to message back going, "You've really missed that wave. Like, there was a time when you could have really got on board with that, but now it's a bit late." Sad.
I think the thing with those reality TV, they the fame of the people passes so quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there are very few of them are remembered even a year later. But like, if you go back to early Big Brother, you can remember Nasty Nick and maybe a couple of the first Big Brother might be unfair, but people like Science from Big Brother, you know, what became of Science from Big Brother?
Science.
To him. And I remember him. And there's a lot of people who I don't remember from Big Brother.
What happened to science in general, Richard? You know what I mean?
That's true.
Cheers.
It was personified in a man, and then that man disappeared, and all science was lost. We shouldn't have stored all our science in science.
As soon as Michael Gove said, "We don't want experts," science exploded.
Oh, dear. So I've been listening. You're doing a lot of podcasts at the moment. I mean, like, I think, even I thought, that's too many podcasts. That's too many podcasts for one. That's a lot. I thought that's a lot of, when I was listening to the Radio X podcast, I think the latest one, I thought it's a lot of talking he's got to do. He's got to come up with a lot of chat. And a lot of yours are chatting with people about things. A lot of these, the podcasts you're doing. Well, but the Taskmaster podcast.
Yeah.
The Off Menu podcast.
Yeah.
I know you recorded some of those in advance. The Radio X Collins and Herring podcast. It does really remind me. It absolutely, when I listened to it, it just gave me flashbacks, because it's like, I love the way you're having ideas in the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And then really running with them. But it's entertaining. I mean, you made, and you've then referred to it, you made an item about how many shirts versus jumpers you had last for probably about an hour of airtime with the records in between, and you realize we can stretch this out, and then kind of go no, let's wait till the next record to do the next, and it was entertaining,
but I
recognized that feeling.
Yes, well, that, I mean, the idea of taking one silly idea and spitting it out for as long as possible is basically that's the Richard Herring principle.
It is,
But that, I mean, when you say, it's very nice of you to say, we, you know, come up with ideas in the moment and really run with them. Yeah. We do no pre-preparation is basically what that means. We don't do any prep. Matthew is...
You counted your jumpers, mate. Come on.
I counted my jumpers. But we do a link on saying I'm going to announce how many jumpers I have, a link where Vin and Matthew guess how many jumpers I have. Then I reveal how many jumpers I have. Then we do another link where we decide what item of clothing we're going to do next week. It's really... It's bad radio.
I think it's good radio.
Yeah.
But it felt like to me, having listened to quite a few of your podcasts, I thought, it sounds a bit like a man who's doing a lot of... it's difficult to think. At least the other ones are set, you know, Off Menu, and we're going to talk about food. Taskmaster, we're going to talk about Taskmaster.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I thought the top five list was a very good feature. I've got a really hard one for you to...
All right.
It's gettable. So the idea of this is, and this was suggested by a listener, right?
As all our stuff is now, yeah.
Right. So I give you a list of top five things and you have to guess what they're my top five of.
Yes.
Okay. Lewis, Bishop, Short, Rice, Fisher. That is gettable.
No, it's hard though, isn't it?
It's hard. It's hard, and there's some trickery in there. There's some fluid interpretation of the category.
They all sound like they could be names.
Yeah,
and
of them are.
Is it some? Only some of them are.
Oh, yeah, go on. Go on.
Oh, because I was going to go with like
mostly that
policemen who are sidekicks to TV detectives.
That does sound like that. That's why Lewis was a good call.
Yeah, but I don't remember Rice. I mean, was there a show in the '70s called Curry and Rice or something?
Short and Fisher, I think, are the ones that would give it to you. But even Fisher is a bit tricky. I think this might be too much of a clue. But the Rice one is quite slightly tangential. But if I said Benny and Bjorn and Rice, that might give it to you. But only if you know why they are connected.
Well, Benny and Bjorn and Rice. So ABBA and then Tim Rice.
Yeah.
Did they write something together?
Ah, oh, they did. So but what is it?
Musical?
It was a musical, yeah. But what was the musical called? What was it about? Let's see if anyone's got it in there.
Well, was it? Did they write Mamma Mia together? Or am I
no, or someone's got it in the chat, but it's taken a while for them to get it. It was a hard one. They're my favorite. They're my top five chess men.
Chess men?
Yeah. So some of them are play chess. The Lewis chessman is a chess man. It's literally a piece of chess. A bishop is a chess man.
Yeah. And they wrote the musical.
They wrote chess.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that's very hard, Richard. You're right.
It was very hard, but I thought you might get it because, you know, you're good at quizzes and stuff. I noticed you've got... you're the reigning Taskmaster champion at the moment.
Champ.
As right. And the longest reigning Taskmaster champion due to the fact that they weren't allowed to do them for a while.
Yes. So thanks to COVID and the channel change, I am the longest reigning Taskmaster champion. And also got House of Games as well there.
Yeah. I've got House of Games and I've got House of Games Champion of Champions. So.
Yeah. And also I'm the champion of death. That's what that trophy is there.
Okay.
The champ of death.
I don't know if everyone could see that. We can only see Greg's head. That's as far as we can see. She might be lying. She might be lying about all the other stuff. Do you enjoy? I really enjoyed House of Games. They asked you back to do a champion of champions.
No, they haven't. And every time I see Richard Osman, he goes, "Oh, we should get you back to do champion of champions." And last time I saw him, I just went, "Bullshit, Osman! I'm calling you on that. You say that every time. You never get me back. I'd love to do it."
Champion of champions is a whole. It's a new level. It's the next level.
Well, I don't think literally. It is because Why? Nish Kumar won his. Week of House of Games and got invited back to do Champion of Champions. And on his original week of House of Games, he said that chickens were an animal that you could milk. So I don't think the level of competitor is that good.
Well, I all I can say is I'm a Champion of Champions.
Nah. Well, I'd love the opportunity to be a Champion of Champions, but I haven't even been invited back because I'm the bad boy of House of Games.
And let's talk about the Taskmaster podcast. We'll talk about some other stuff later. We'll talk about all your podcasts and then we'll talk about some other stuff. The Taskmaster podcast is... I'm on Taskmaster. I don't know if you know I'm on Taskmaster this series.
I've seen it, Richard. I've seen that you're there.
I've very, very much enjoyed this job, as I know you did. It's clear from the podcast how much you would just like to be just doing it.
Yes.
They should let the winner stay on and that's what you would really like to have.
Should be winner stays on, shouldn't it?
Imagine the levels of competitiveness we get to by then. It's the thing. My regrets about my Taskmaster is I was too keen all the time just to do the tasks. Like, so I didn't stop and think about it. It's very hard, isn't it, though, to stop and think. So I just went. I went much more route one than I thought I would on nearly all of them. I just did the task, and I was looking out for tricks and traps, but. Then every time there was one, I kind of forgot. And every time I thought of it, there wasn't one.
But that's what Alex will tell you in the little prep at the beginning for what prep there is. It's very little. But he will say, just do what's in front of you because it will be different to what everyone else thinks. What you think is route one is not what anyone else thinks is route one. So
true.
So I think you've got to do it because as soon as you start overthinking it or going, am I being funny enough doing this? It stops being funny.
Well, there isn't the time is so imperative in most of them as well. I think the ones when you can sit back and have a think about it, like the one we've seen of mine of the vanishing trick, you have an hour to think about that. And I had an hour to work out how that, you know, I knew there was something with mirrors and I worked out how it would work.
Yeah.
And, you know, they help you a little bit and they go and buy you the stuff you need and stuff. So it's not done literally in an hour, but it's you've got an hour's thinking time. And I was better, I think, at those ones where there was a bit of time to think, like in terms of being creative. I think the thing I regret is not spend. I just got all my my items to bring in. I thought, oh, I'll get it done really quickly, and they were really pleased with me that I did it really quickly. But I wish I'd stopped, and luckily, no one stopped and thought about it.
Literally, but all of it is the worst series ever for prize tasks. But that is, I think, so to far. Its credit.
Yeah,
so far. I mean, what are we? Yeah, we're two in. Yeah. It's the third episode. Third episode tomorrow. Yeah, I think the first two are pretty dreadful prize task, but I think it's funny how exasperated Greg gets about it. Yeah, Daisy's basically just got a bag and swept everything off her countertop and turned up to the studio. It's great,
but if you're trying to win, that the studio tasks and the first round are where you can pick up points, which I think what you did, isn't it? You were very imaginative about your
and you
can be imaginative and come up with some funny, you know, stuff that's funny, which I think I do a bit later on. But
I did okay in the prize tasks. David Baddiel was actually weirdly quite good at the prize tasks, and then so he'd always start every episode on a high and then drop off a cliff immediately.
But it's weird because you're sort of, you know, in our one, everyone is sort of bad at most of it and has a moment of genius every now and again. You know, Moan is just so incredible because he'll have a moment of absolute genius, but then he'll have something that is inspired so badly. Yeah. You know, the helium in the egg is obviously...
The helium in an egg is immediately like a Taskmaster classic moment from any of the series. And especially as he still can't, even back in the studio, he still can't really work out why it was stupid. Like, everyone's laughing at him, and he's like, yeah, I tried to put helium in an egg. I think he's great. He's so good.
Yeah, he's absolutely fun. I was sitting next to him all the time. We had a very good time. And he's a very stylish. I mean, he's not that young. He's 29. 28, 29. But he's a very stylish young man.
Yeah. Richard, you're stylish too, man.
Ah, but, you know, he gets... He eclipsed me. I thought, I'll put on a fancy shirt. Everyone will say, who's that guy at the end? Then he starts coming in with, like, stick-on fingernail colours that matches trainers. He gets more, you know, he starts quite soberly. You wait till the end. He's a very sexy young man. And
well,
I've
been slightly ahead, and there's an episode where he appears to be wearing a sort of fluffy leopard skin coat and a baker's hat, which I don't think you could pull off, Richard, if I'm honest.
Oh dear, that would have been that's a good one. We could have come dressed as each other. That would have been here we are. But the podcast is a good addition. So it comes out straight after Taskmaster is finished. It's sort of like the Walking Dead thing where that bloke comes on and talks about the Walking Dead, the show.
It's called the Talking Dead. I'm very much trying to style myself as the Chris Hardwick of UK comedy, without any of the controversies, which I believe have been put to bed now.
Good. But yours isn't on TV either. Yours is just a podcast.
No. But obviously, that's what we're pushing for.
Yeah. Is it winner stays at will? The winner of Series 10
it's mine. You lot trying to come here and grab my goddamn podcast. Thank you. Outfits don't matter on podcasts, Moan, if you're watching.
Well, it's a very exciting show. I think it's the most fun I've ever had doing any job, and it barely feels like you can call it a job.
Yeah, it's so dumb. The whole thing's so ridiculous. Oh no, I loved it, and I refuse to let go. I think that's clear.
Okay, but there might be, you know, if there is a Champions of Champions, which there has been one Champions of Champion of that. If they don't let you on that, then you know there's something.
Oh,
if Greg Davis keeps on avoiding, yeah, we'll have you on that.
I mean, I don't know what I'd do, Richard, if they if they announce Champion of Champions and they've not called me about it, calling my agent, going, "What? Am I going to be doing this? Yeah. You do that, bye." Oh God! Even the idea of that has put a chill down my spine.
Well, it's good. You get lots of extra stuff, extra info. And I think what's astonishing, and they haven't put out so as much as I thought they would. They've done one very funny extra, but there was so much more stuff in the studios, especially. That was just that first episode. I think a lot of people commented, "Why is Catherine crying?"
Yeah,
and then they show the 5 minutes that preceded that didn't get put out because it was about sperm coming out of an egg, out of a tube.
That's what I love about Taskmaster is they show the actual show, then there's a family friendly version on E4 Sundays at 6 p.m. and then also there's an extra on YouTube where you're talking about spunk coming out of a dick for ages. It's for all ages if you watch it at the right time.
But they showed, because there was no audience, there was no, I suppose, no, because probably they showed it to a cinema audience, didn't they? That's how we got an audience on it. So they probably have seen the edit. They probably haven't, they may have saw a slightly longer edit. But in our one, no one got to even see all of that stuff. But I think some people are saying it's better, some people are saying it's worse without an audience. I think we enjoyed it more without an audience than we might have done in a way, because it meant we could dick around more. But obviously the atmosphere was different. I think like you comedically you could take things further. I think that if a whole room of people had been laughing at that, for example, I think that would have ended because you wouldn't have been able to carry on.
I think you're all clearly more relaxed than you might be in front of an audience. And there is a lot of weeping going on. It wasn't just that moment. Like you're all hysterically crying for quite a lot.
The first two especially. I mean, the first two absolutely all day. It was just wonderful because it was the first day out of lockdown. First day I'd left like the environment, you know, my environs of my house in 4 or 5 months. And it was just so cathartic. And I think from the comments we're getting, that's how most people are viewing the series, as this kind of fun bit of nonsense at the end of the year that kind of gives us all a chance to just expunge everything through laughter. But I've never experienced, you know, as a comedian, you would have hoped you'd experienced it or caused it to happen to other people. But I've never experienced how, you know, laughing all day. And I just left that first day of the first two records feeling, admittedly, I'd come first in both of those shows. So that might have helped. But I felt, you know, I'd felt so like high off laughing. Unless they were pumping something in.
It's an incredible time. Tell me about now. Did COVID change the catering? Because the catering on Taskmaster was exceptional when I did it.
Yeah, well, it did then, I think. Well, we outside of the studio, we weren't really allowed to mix.
Oh.
And so there was a dressing room with pre-prepared, like, cardboard boxes of nice food. We had to go and sit in a dressing room and eat it alone.
Did you get the banoffee pie?
We did have banoffee pie. That was nice.
Best banoffee pie I've ever had. There we go.
Okay. I think banoffee pie, and we're going to move on to food.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to puddings. I don't like the biscuity bit of banoffee pie. I would happily eat the rest of it.
What are you talking
about? If they could make banoffee pie it's Bella's pudding, isn't it? Banoffee pie. It's sort of a Bella's pudding. If you take off the biscuit, it's Bella's pudding.
So you don't want texture. You just want like prison slop.
I don't like any cheesecakes or anything like that because I don't like the biscuity base part of it. And to be honest, I'm finding sweet things. I've always had a sweet tooth, but super sweet things, which banoffee pie is, I'm finding a little bit hard to stomach now.
I think
as I get older.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's the texture, isn't it? Your teeth aren't up to it. You just need something you can slurp down with a big straw.
So when I had James Acaster on recently, not only did I pay him like a proper amount of money for doing it.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be at the O2, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So he still got his fee, which was like extraordinary. It was like proper TV money.
I've never known James Acaster. I've never known anyone who cares about money so little wander into such large sums of it. He will do something and then go, well, that was fun. You go, yeah. And we got paid for it, didn't we? You go, did we?
We wanted this money because he'd given in his invoice and then it hadn't gone through. And then he emailed me about it. So he knew he wanted this. He knew that was his impetus. If you watch it, you can see in his eyes, he's only there for the cash. But I made him Bella's pudding.
Did you?
I mean, I say that. I made myself Bella's pudding and ate it in front of him because we were socially distanced. But I discovered the recipe. Someone sent me a recipe. I thought, that looks like it. Then I made it.
And it was
and it. It was it. Especially the day I made it. I thought it's not going to be it. Then it all came together. Oh, it looks like it. Tasted it. Didn't taste like it. Left it till the next day because I was interviewing him in the afternoon. And then when I ate it, it was very sweet. It was basically made of sugar and butter and not much else. It was incredibly sweet. But the next day, it tasted exactly like I remembered Bella's pudding being.
I see. So the key to Bella's pudding is it's just quite old pudding.
Became properly caramelly, which it wasn't the night before when it just needed to rest. But it's meant to be a hot pudding.
Mm.
This is what we discovered. Basically it's so we solved it. I you don't have to thank me for doing the off menu podcast. I believe I was voted the best ever guest there's been.
Who voted you the best guest there's
been? A lot of people. Yeah.
You were a very good guest, Richard.
Oh shit.
Has your little light's gone off?
I've just touched a thing and the light went off. I touched something. Oh no. It's quite moody.
Yeah.
Let me just see if I can turn it on. You carry on talking. It's all right.
You were a very good guest, Richard.
Thank you.
You came at it from a different angle, I seem to remember.
Well, it was a bit of pre-beginning of COVID fun, wasn't it? So I thought, let's have some fun and let's annoy Ed Gamble by doing all the things wrong.
But that's good. We have so many guests who, you know, do it properly.
Yes.
Just a nice...
Well, I'm happy to come back on and I'll do it properly for you next time, I promise.
I don't believe that for one second, Richard.
Right, I wonder if this will go back on again.
You know we can all see you anyway, right?
There we go. No, it's better because, like, also, mate, I've got a background on here that you can't see.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the intro...
Yeah.
I didn't know that the green screen was actually doing stuff on Twitch. So when you're going, yeah, look at a picture of him there, I was like, Richard's lost it. Like, is this what everyone on Twitch is seeing? Just you sat in front of a green screen pretending there's a picture of Frank Boff next to you.
If you imagine it, then it's there, right? That's how green screens work.
Yeah, it's like a hook.
If you're thinking of it, if you stop thinking of it for any second, it fades. Or like your darkest thoughts. That we had. I mean, Christ. I mean, there's been some people in trouble for being caught interfering with themselves on Zoom chats and that sort of
really?
Thing. You see this guy in America who, I've forgotten his name, and he did some material about him on my stupid puppet show, but he was on a Zoom call, and then he thought the Zoom call was finished, and then I think he was on a Zoom call with somebody else, but it was a business thing, and he was essentially at work, so it was inappropriate. But he started playing with his old. I mean, I don't want enough a family podcast like this. I don't know how best to describe it. But he's got into. But then, like, also there was at the end of one of those shows, we'd had some problems with the streaming, and Chris was messing around with it and accidentally turned the stream back on again for about 8 minutes after the show had finished. And I was sitting here like this, and luckily I was writing up the notes for that week's episode. But, you know, I'm up in a little cocoon up here. There's a screen. Even my wife came upstairs. She wouldn't know what was going on behind here. And imagine if I'd done that, that's it, isn't it? That's game over. I'd be like that guy in America.
You know what?
It's called something like Toomler or something like that. It's called something Toom because everyone's doing a Me Too joke about him. But if you're filmed masturbating, which I could, or just picking my nose or doing any of the many disgusting things I do, that's it, isn't it? It's there. You know, you can't go to people, please don't spread that on social media.
Honestly, I think I think you are overestimating your reputation.
You'd become the wanking.
If you were accidentally caught masturbating on a Twitch stream, everyone would go, oh, yeah. Anyway, who's he got on next week?
I mean, it might become more popular. As you know, you become more famous.
Yeah.
You'd be the bloke who did that. Then people would tune in to see. I'm happy to do it if the public want to see it. But it's just being fair. If I can do it knowing I'm being observed, then I'll do it differently than I would do if I was on my
own. Switch up your technique.
Yeah, so it wasn't so weird. I have a very weird masturbatory technique. And the stuff that I have to watch to get myself off is now just, you know, beyond most people's understanding.
It's yourself on a green screen with Frank Brock.
It's me imagining. Oh, dear. Do you think masturbating in a relationship is wrong? Now we're talking about masturbating.
I guess it depends when you're doing it.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, quickly when they go to the toilet, there's probably something wrong.
I think, see, she's 35, Lily Allen, so that's fine. Although she's only just got married, so, I mean, there shouldn't... I mean, that's great if she wants... If she's got the spirit and the energy. I'm not criticizing... I would never criticize anyone for masturbating on their own or with consenting adults. But when you're 53, which you're not yet, you only get a shot a day, really.
Yeah,
you only get one shot a day. So if you're lucky, and even like sometimes it can knock over to the next day. So I've got to really plan my if I'm going to do it. I've got to plan in case, you know, what if my wife then comes? Oh, Richard, I would like some of my wifely intercourse now, as agreed in our marriage contract.
Such a good impression of your wife. Like she's in the room,
and I'd have to go. Oh yeah, good. Let's just give me a minute.
Give me 48 hours.
You do have to have a bit of warning now. So, you know, that's the thing. So it's fine. I think it is fine. And I'm glad the BBC agree and have put it on the front of the news. And it's got what I love about this. It doesn't, you know, she's basically saying it's okay for women to wank, which is a very positive message. It just made me laugh that was the headline.
Well, I think
of the BBC website.
They're just finding anything that isn't COVID now, right? So they've bumped all the COVID stuff to its own section now. That's how big that is. And then they're struggling for other headlines. It's Brexit or Lily Allen wanking.
Yeah. See, if a woman wanks, it's good. And if a man wanks, it's bad. Ed, that's what the news is telling me.
Don't give stuff away from your book already.
It's sexist against men. Men aren't allowed. We're not even allowed to wank anymore. Women, it's all there. Go ahead, girls. Knock yourself out. It's changed. Things have changed.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Okay, I've got an emergency question just for you today that will never be done again. I'm going to do, at some point, I'm going to give you your one that you've already answered twice.
Look forward to it.
Today, which is the 28th of October, if you're watching in the future, listening in the future, in 1453, Ladislav the Posthumous was crowned king of Bohemia. I might have got his name slightly wrong there because I can't read my own writing. If you were king of a mythical kingdom, which I know Bohemia isn't, but it sounds like it is, what would you like your nickname to be? Because his is Ladislav's the Posthumous.
Was that his nickname when he was alive?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? But he was born after his dad had died. That's why he's called that. It's quite, that caught my eye on Wikipedia. That was on the Wikipedia front page when I was looking you up. That caught my eye. I went down a bit of a rabbit hole and mainly read about him.
Yeah.
Instead of you. So I thought I'd use that research to a good effect. What would you like to be remembered as? Because that in those days, you got to have your name and the thing you were.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen so much now.
I think I would be a good prince regent of an imaginary country. I have, in the past, I have had self-tape auditions for those straight-to-Netflix Christmas films. where there's a sort of a royal prince in a land that doesn't exist, and then like a girl from New York comes and they fall in love. So I think I'd be good in that situation. But I don't know what I want my vibe to be. I'd want to be maybe just, would I want to be grubby? Would I want to be murdery? Would I want to be nice? Maybe nice and grubby.
Because William the Conqueror was also called William the Bastard. So he had two. And I think, like, I don't know whether it was like other people called him William. He was a bastard. He was like born out of wedlock.
Yeah.
Rather than he was though I think he was a bit of a bastard.
Yeah.
I believe, I may be wrong, I might be confusing my Williams, but I believe when he died, I think he ruptured his spleen or something on a horse. He was quite fat. And all of these people, his retinue and people around him, as he was dying, stripped him of all his stuff and left him to die on his own, I think. So that's, I think that's what happened. I may have got that wrong. We need Greg Jenner in to correct my history, but I think that's what happened. So he wasn't a very nice guy, but, you know,
but some of them weren't. I guess you have a nickname that people say to your face, and then you have a nickname that, like, the poor people call you behind your back. So I could have Edward the Brave and then, like, Edward the Masturbator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, but see, with posthumous, do you think you just had to explain that quite a lot to people? They go, I'm Ladislav the posthumous. Go, but I'm not. I'm still alive.
Yeah,
I'm called that.
Don't worry, I've not. I'm not a ghost.
I just think there's more problems with that than I've never encountered him before. Or maybe, he was king of Bohemia in 1453.
Are you sure it was posthumous? Are you sure it wasn't just because he's always just eaten some hummus? He always had chickpeas around his mouth. So they're like, we're going to call you the Ladislav.
But he was never eating chickpeas, no. But he always had
them. He's always just always a little just bit in the corner of his mouth. Yeah.
When is he eating these chickpeas? So we're observing you.
See, that's the sort of pernickety approach to language that I've already seen in Taskmaster, Richard, in the first two episodes. Very competitive. Very competitive.
Well, the worst thing, without giving too, this is a slight spoiler, but not too much. There's a task in the studio based on language and just naming words. And it's the fucking easiest thing in the world. And I just thought, great, I'm definitely going to win this. And I fuck up so badly on it that I came out I went to Greg, I can't fucking believe this. And then from then on, he went on about me being furious and spitting and stuff. Because I'd come off stage so angry with myself for fucking up the task that was basically designed for me.
Well, I think people remember you for those angry moments. Like I had a drawing task where I was on a team with David Baddiel in the studio.
Yeah.
And he was so useless. I got so angry with him. And that's the thing I have quoted back at me most. And also in the last episode, I thought I was going to have a task taken away from me when I was the only one who did it right. And I was mid rant and a fly flew past my face in the studio and I killed it and went, fucking fly. And that is the moment, 10 episodes in, where my fiance turned to me and said, that's the first time I've ever seen you be you on television. Imagine that. She's marrying me.
I know. I find that difficult to believe. In fact, I was going to talk to you about that. I find it hard. I've listened to you on that podcast about relationships. It's very the BBC Sounds one with Catherine Bohart.
And Sarah Keyworth. Yeah, you'll do it. It's called. It's a very good podcast.
It's very good, but I just found it very hard to believe you're in a relationship.
Why? I'm a nice boy.
I don't know. I just think and she seems really nice, your fiance, and like a normal person.
Yes.
And I just think I can't imagine you off. And I can't imagine you being with someone and being pleasant.
Let's dig down into that, Richard. So you can't imagine me being off. Is that what you say? Yeah. As in like, I'm always like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I just think you'll always be, so she'll say something, you'll go, and you'll come in, you'll go for the jugular.
Oh, you think?
And just trying to be funny all the time.
Yeah.
And I think, I can't imagine I'm not saying you've paid an actor to pretend to be your fiance, but I just can't imagine someone who sounds so normal and pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time with you and
praising you.
I'm very nice.
Being great.
Look, I don't compare our relationship. I'm not like constantly asking her what she does and stuff and tearing into her life choices. You know, I have moments where I relax. And then I'm either hilarious or furious.
Yeah.
Those are the two.
I can't see it.
You've now got a new name. Your name's changed and it makes you seem the most ridiculously posh man on earth.
Yes.
I mean, it was bad before. Your name before, which I never clocked. And I only noticed it because I went, fuck, I've never noticed that before. And then I worked out and then I realised what happened after you'd had that podcast. Edward Stevenson Gamble was your birth name.
Yes.
Which is pretty bad.
Yeah.
But your name now, and according to IMDb, this is the name you were born with.
Is it? Have they changed it on IMDb?
Yeah, and it says he was born as, which is not true, Edward Stevenson Jameson Gamble.
Yes, because...
I mean, fucking hell.
Because...
I mean, yeah, but look, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do what you're doing. And she won't take your name because it makes her name seem ridiculous.
She has taken my name. So
but she's not taken as her last name. You're taking her name. It doesn't seem ridiculous as a middle name. You've taken her surname as an extra middle name.
Yes. So we were supposed to get married in April and we couldn't because of COVID. So on the day we were supposed to get married, we decided to do a deed.
Because of COVID.
Because
you couldn't afford to pay her to pretend to marry you as well.
And also she's left me. Because we couldn't get married, we decided to do a deed poll and add our surnames to each other's middle names, which is very romantic, Richard. It's just unfortunate that I now sound like a Victorian inventor.
Richard Keith Wilkins Herring.
That's nice.
Wilkins. I think some people do Wilkins as a middle name. Catherine Joy Herring Wilkins.
Well, as you well know, if you add Herring to anything, it sounds fucking ridiculous.
I mean, she still basically goes by Catherine Wilkins for any professional things.
Well,
so it is interesting. No, but it was an interesting discussion to be had about what you do in that. So we did talk about it, about whether she was going to take my name, and we did it only for the whole family having the same name deal. Yeah. That's kind of nice, but equally, I suppose it could have gone the other way, but no way I'm leaving Herring behind.
But it's like, people can just do what they want, right? Yeah, it's weird. It's weird either way when people are like, you should definitely do this because it's a tradition, or the other people who are like, if you do that, you are saying you belong to that man. It's like, no, just do what you want.
Oh, well, so because I noticed your website still lists them. You're basically doing a world tour that's been bumped. That you're doing in January, but it's not going
to
happen.
I'm not doing that. No. We have pulled those dates. I just need to update the website.
Okay. Have they been bumped on again, or have they just been?
I think we're going to can them for now, and then I'll be honest. I didn't really have a new show ready for them, so this has worked out very well for me. It was going to be a lot of new material in Copenhagen, which wasn't ideal. So I am trying to write a new show at the moment. So there will be a new show ready to go when gigs are properly allowed again.
But it was sort of all over the world. It was like sort of hopping all over the world, really.
It was Europe. So Europe.
Wasn't there a bit of American there as well? I thought I saw.
No, I wasn't doing any proper American dates. I've done gigs in America, but normally 5 minutes to silence, which doesn't count as a tour date.
Right, I'm going to ask you this question for the third time, and it's quite interesting, I think, for the third time. Because previously you've answered it one way, and it's a religious-based question, and I think the third time we'll add a new element to it.
Okay.
Why hast thou forsaken me? I've asked you it in every podcast.
Really? And I don't remember. I don't remember.
You don't
what
remember
I said the first.
I don't. But you said the same thing both times, more or less.
Really?
More or less exactly the same thing. Yeah.
Did I give an answer, or was it clear that I couldn't think of an answer, so I tried to bump you onto another topic?
I think it was, you know, it's not much of an answer, but it's the same. It was the same thing. Why hast thou forsaken me?
Oh, I can't even think what I would have said. Do you feel like I've forsaken you,
well,
Richard?
I feel on this question you've forsaken me, so it'd be interesting to see whether you forsake me again a third time, and then if a cock crows when you forsake me a third time.
I don't think I've ever forsaken you, Richard. I've always credited you as an influence and as you've always been my influence as the worst member of a double act. That's very much been my vibe for my whole career.
Good.
Peacock and Gamble, and Crosby and Gamble, Acaster and Gamble. I'm the bedrock of the double act, but not the flashy one.
And just trying out a variety of different partners as well.
Yeah, that's
you'll eventually get on to just doing it with puppets. Eventually that head of Greg Davis will, you'll be just sitting there with the head of Greg Davis going, I'll just do it with a puppet, then at least I know where I am. But even though I do it with a puppet, and the I don't know what the puppet's going to do, and it surprises me. So the puppet is just, it's the same as being in a double act.
Yeah. Do you remember, you were a big fan of Naughty Keith. Do you remember that?
I love Naughty Keith, yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, but I think it is the same, which was a Peacock and Gamble. In fact, more Peacock than Gamble.
Yes.
We were both involved, but he was... Yeah, yeah, I mean, I've always... But, you know, thinking about it, I've just always been... This is a conglomeration of my whole life. I was obsessed with all those shows as a kid that I'm sort of lovingly referring to nearly everything. It's sort of back-referencing to every single puppet show ever, basically. But I love things like Michael Benton's Potty Time, which you're too young for.
Yeah, you've made that up.
No, Michael Benton.
Just because, look, Richard, just because you're older than me, you can't just make up shit that didn't happen.
Michael Benton, who was in The Goons, did a kid's show which was like loads of things. And one of it was just like tiny people going across sand that you couldn't see and just the sand flying up.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing I remember. But
I remember, do you remember Professor Willie's Botty Burps as well? That was a good one.
It's real. You look it up.
Classic.
It's real. It's Michael Benton. You don't even know who Michael Benton is. That's how young you are. And, you know, all these things, Tiswas, the banana splits, too young for it, all these things.
I do. I'm aware of those.
But that was, so all those influences were there. And so, yeah, I did really. It was my favourite thing in Peacock and Gamble was Naughty Keith. But I don't think, you know, I think there's not many ventriloquists on our circuit. There's Nina Conti.
Nina Conti and...
Ray Peacock and Naughty Keith.
Paul Zerdin.
Paul Zerdin, yeah. He's quite mainstream, though, isn't he?
He's Vegas now, right?
He is Vegas, yeah. Whereas Nina's sort of experimenting with the form. I think Ian was experimenting with the form a little bit.
In his own way, yeah.
But yeah, I've always been very disparaging of ventriloquists. There was a episode of this where I said all ventriloquists are essentially sex offenders, and you know, I stand by it.
But anyone else would have said that as if to distance themselves. You've then gone, I think they're all sex offenders. I'll join their ranks.
See how it goes.
Yeah. When I saw you at I've not seen any of your ventriloquism-based content yet.
You've got to see it, man.
Obviously, you do a large range of things, internet-based comedy projects. And when I saw a picture of you with that ventriloquist puppet, it's the first time I've thought, oh, he's genuinely lost it.
Well, a lot of people think that.
That's it. He's tipped over the edge. He's gone.
Have I? What, that was it? Not the snooker, not the stone clearing?
The snooker and the stone clearing, I can see, like, oh, it's just a lonely man. But the ventriloquist, I was like, oh, no, that's it. He's gone potty. He's gone Michael Benton's potty time.
A lot of people feel that, but I feel that is that's sort of the conceit of it. But also the exciting thing about it is it's difficult to know whether the conceit is overtaken reality.
I mean, you can keep saying it's the conceit. You've said that with your last four podcasts. You've gone, well, it's the conceit is that I've lost it, you see. It's going to end up with you in a home rocking back and forth going, this is just the conceit. You don't understand. Take this jacket off me.
It'll all be part of it. It's good. right. Let me see. Well, I'm going to ask you some emergency questions. There must have been some other stuff I was going to talk to you about.
You've missed one of my podcasts, Richard.
Off menu. Oh, the fucking heavy metal shit.
Heavy metal one. It's the one where my true love gets poured in.
I'm not interested in that.
Lifers. It's called Lifers. It's on Spotify. I interview old heavy metal bands who never got their due and talk about how they've been going for so long and how they've overcome all those hurdles. Richard, you'd be very interested.
It's not even successful heavy metal bands, which I wouldn't be interested in. It's ones that didn't work out.
Richard, it's people who've dedicated their lives to a creative career despite not finding success. It's so up your street.
They should grow up heavy metal. It's for children. It's pathetic. They're grown men They should have a look at themselves and think what they're doing.
Oh.
Is it good?
It
what's
is
your
good.
Favorite? What's your favorite heavy metal?
What's my favorite heavy metal? I love Clutch. I've got a set list by Clutch there. You can't see it. Slipknot. I love a lot of UK metal, new UK metal, Venom Prison, Conjurer, Ithaca, Architects.
Cheers. I talked about this on a recent podcast, but I was at Legoland with my kids at the end of the summer holidays. And we went on this little boat ride round a fairy tale. It's like a little boat ride and it goes around different fairy tale scenes. And I saw a guy getting off, as we were queuing to get on, I saw a guy getting off that with a Slipknot t-shirt on, holding a sort of pink and purple unicorn thing, having walked away, just been watching like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, kind of going. And I just thought that sort of sums it up. And that's life summed up right there, that guy.
Yeah, he's clinging onto the Slipknot thing, but life catches up.
It was good, and I respected him. Okay, let's go in deep into the emergency questions. I have asked you a lot of emergency questions. Here's another one for Christmas. We're coming up to Christmas. Do you think if more people bought him Christmas presents, the devil might be less inclined to be evil?
I think a lot of people buy the devil presents. I don't think the devil's stuck for presents. Like, think about all the sacrifices. Think about, like, he's got a lot of people around him willing to give him stuff. I think he needs less presents, actually. He needs to learn what it's like to only have, you know, your personality. I love the devil, obviously.
Why do you think the devil is doing all this stuff? Because, like, he knows God definitely exists. That's something we don't have, right? So he knows God created the universe and God is all good and created everything, including him. And what's in it for him to rebel again? He must know he can't win, sort of in the predictions in the book, he's going to lose eventually.
But he's not trying to win. That's the thing.
What's he trying to do?
Just have the best time. He gets all the best stuff.
He lives in hell in all fire and stuff. Why is he living down there? If he's the devil, he should live somewhere nice.
No, because he's part fire, isn't he? That's how, you know how some people are just, they're like, they have the radiator on in summer. He's like that guy. He's an old man. He needs the central heating on all the time. He's got the best life, the devil. Better than born, old God.
I studied Paradise Lost at school, and Milton was obviously trying to write the devil as an unappealing character. But you come out of reading that going, it's pretty cool.
Pretty cool, yeah.
It's pretty fucking, you know, you've got to admire him for sticking up for what he believes that strongly. I think there's something in it. I think the devil, he could only rebel against God if there's something up with God, right? There has to be an issue with God that we're not getting the news about that.
Yeah. What's God been doing?
Yeah. That the devil's upset with. Why would anyone hate God? God created them. He's nice. He's just. He likes good people, supposedly. And then you go, oh, I'm going to rebel against that.
Do you think that's the next big scandal, the next big Me Too situation?
Well, like, God's everywhere and he's watching everything, so that's bad enough.
Dirty bastard.
That's bad enough when that gets out. Have I ever asked you this? Now you're getting married, so you need one of these. Which five celebrities are on your celebrity shag list? Which is, once you're in a committed relationship, you have a laminated list of five celebrities that if you happen to meet them and they want to make love with you, you're allowed to do it and your partner can't...
I think we've lightheartedly had that conversation, but decided it's probably best not to really get a list in, because I think we both work in entertainment, so the chances of meeting those people is slightly higher. Yeah.
But then they have to like you as well, so, you know.
Yeah, true, but then, you know, it's one step closer even being in the same room as them. So
it hasn't worked out for me. I haven't got anywhere with any of mine.
Who are yours? I'm sure you've covered this ground.
I've lost the page now. The ones who, when I wrote this book, Rebecca from the CBeebies show Let's Play, which we'll be watching, and if you ever have kids, hopefully you will. Fenella from the 30th Hotel, similarly.
There you go.
From
CBeebies.
Amy Pond from Doctor Who, the character, not the actor.
Yeah.
The Gemma Chan robot from Humans, the robot, not the actor. Yeah. And Anne Widdecombe.
I see with a lot of those, what you've done is you've picked people who you'd genuinely like to sleep with, but said the character so you can have them on the podcast without feeling weird, right?
Yeah.
We know exactly what you've
done. I think
there.
In both cases, I think the person won't be as... I've just got a feeling the person won't be as interesting as the character. So, and, you know, then it's at least a detachment because those two are impossible. Anne Widdicombe's unlikely. Fenella is actually a puppet.
Yeah.
But I met Fenella from the Furchester Hotel. We went to meet them, and the lady who operates it was very flattered by the fact that I fancied her. Right. So she'd heard about the routine I do about her and was incredibly flirtatious.
I don't believe that for a second, Richard.
But the woman, I'm not interested in the woman. I want Fenella. She was very flattered and joining with the joke, but she made Fenella nibble my ear while we were having a photo taken, and it was one of the sexiest things that's happened to me since I got married. You know, that didn't involve my wife, at least. I mean, that's not hard, but you know, it was generally quite arousing.
I don't think I've ever had
a furry.
I don't think I've ever had that. I mean, you know, I fancy most celebrities.
Okay.
They've all got makeup on. The lighting's nice.
Yeah.
Get me in there.
I mean, it's probably not a discussion to have just before you get married. Or maybe it is. Maybe you should have that discussion just before you get married. Because she can have five as well.
Yeah. I mean, hers will all be weird, though.
Yeah. When
she's already told me. It's like Spock, but played by whoever. It doesn't matter who's playing Spock. It's the character of Spock. No. She's regularly said, oh, you're not a Spock type character.
Okay.
She sees me as more of a Kirk, and I think she finds that repulsive.
One of Katie's is, and this might be why I didn't end up watching all of Lost, is Sawyer from Lost. Is that real?
He's pretty hot.
I mean, I think I look enough like.
You look a bit like Sawyer from Lost. If when the plane crashed, he was squashed horribly.
If I was my wife and I was with me and I fancied Sawyer, I would just squint a bit and go, "Yeah,
that'll do."
That's it. That's what you've got. I won't ask that one. It's very in keeping with. Oh, here's a good one. Are you a racist?
Yeah. Big time. Good. Imagine if you caught people out with that question.
Yeah.
Are you a racist? Yes. Oh God. Oh no.
One more, and then we'll think of something else to talk about. This is a weird... Oh, yeah, I get it now.
Always the point when you interview me that we get to the, we'll think of something else to talk about, and then you go off on a rant about Harry Potter Trivial Pursuits.
I'll get the fucking game for you. Prove it. I've been at home now, so I can get it. It's not up here. Who was your favourite gladiator? And I'm guessing I mean from the TV show Gladiator, but you're welcome to interpret it as...
No, I fully interpret that as the TV show Gladiators. Okay. Look, it was when I was a kid. I'm probably quite root one. I loved Wolf.
Wolf?
I loved Wolf. But I think looking back, entertainment-wise, and he didn't last the full run of Gladiators, Shadow was amazing. Because in Duel, this stare he would give people was quite incredible.
Yeah, that's true.
Gladiators is a big show for me. It's like my dad and my mum were separated. And my dad would come over on Saturday and we'd hang out and we'd watch Gladiators and then Blind Date. That was the lineup of shows. And the Gladiators time was the best. We love Shadow. So good.
Yeah. Cool.
I believe there was some, I mean, you know, I hope this isn't libel. I believe there was some drugs issues with Shadow, which would explain the stare.
It was just him, Frank Boff, and Angus Deaton.
Those are the three. Those are the three.
The three people on TV taking cocaine. I never took cocaine on when I was. I have had it subsequently, but when I was, I didn't. Not only like twice or something, and I thought it's all right.
Yeah, but your show was on what, 6 o'clock ish.
I'm not going to take it.
You're not going to take take it at five, are you? Before.
And then... No, it was on at midday. It was on, we recorded This Morning Rich Not Judy at 12:15.
Oh, well, there you go.
O'clock.
Yeah, you're not going to take it then, are you?
Not before, but you can have it after. What we did is we drank, we would do the show. It was very stressful putting together the show. We were writing it in the week and then doing it at the weekend. We had some sketches. On Sunday, I think we took Monday off. Sunday, we would just sit outside the Lyric, Riverside in Hammersmith. We brought in our own bottles of vodka because it was too expensive at the bar. and drank vodka and Red Bull, like a bottle of vodka each, I think we just drank. I got so wrecked every Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Because we finished at 1 o'clock and then just drank what? All afternoon.
I don't. I think that is less, genuinely less of a thing now in entertainment, like the amount of booze and drugs and things like that. Is it because was booze weaker in the 90s, or do you think people are more professional now?
I think people are more professional. Yeah. I think it became to a point. I think there was a lot of cocaine going on. I think it was one time someone asked me, a really pretty girl was asked me if I, they said, oh, we're going to take some cocaine. Do you want to come? And I said, no. Because I didn't. I was really scared about taking drugs.
I think me and you both give off no coke vibes, because I know there's still that sort of thing that goes on in entertainment, but no one's ever offered me. And I've seen people go and all go off in little groups, and no one's ever said, Ed, would you like to come and take some cocaine? They look at me and go, no, he's not going anywhere near that.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it was a big thing in the 90s. I think a lot of people were taking drugs, and I think the fact that I wasn't taking drugs and was scared of taking drugs and quite judgmental about people taking drugs meant that I was excluded from quite a lot of important occasions.
Yeah.
might have helped my career. But we did drink a lot. I mean, we all drank a lot. And I just think it got to the point, but it's the same as being a student now. But when I was a student, you know, it cost a couple of grand to be a student, you know, for the year. And then you could go and piss up against the wall and make that up in a couple of years if you needed to. But now with Edinburgh and with being a student, it costs so much money. You can't afford not to go and do it really seriously. So Edinburgh used to be basically my holiday. It was the only time I got to meet anyone outside of the people I was working with, and it was the only time I, you know, really could cut loose, and we just found the money to have fun. But otherwise, I was at home eating baked potatoes and, you know, talking to Andrew Mackay and Stuart Lee about Star Trek. You know, so it wasn't a very showbiz. And in the whole 90s, I spent a lot of weekends in the 90s, even when I was on TV, sitting at home playing Civilization 2 on my own in my flat, where I lived alone by that stage. So it was a very lonely time for me.
I mean, now that sounds like a podcast you'd do.
Well, I have played Civilization on Twitch, but I don't think it's, people quite liked it, but I have given that a go. So I wasn't showbiz, but like I feel quite angry about Frank Booth being sacked. Now he's dead. He had like a lot of, you know, the kind of hypocrisy of all the people. I mean, it's the hypocrisy of all the people in all these situations who are just shutting up and not saying anything, or conversely being very anti the thing whilst they're doing it themselves.
Yeah.
It just seems ridiculous to me that, and Angus Deaton, really. I can understand Angus Deaton a bit more because it kind of damaged him as a satirist a little bit to have been the, but why does it matter? If you're doing those sort of things, which are, that's up to you, isn't it? That's not, there's nothing, I was going to say there's nothing illegal, but it is illegal.
It's all the drugs and stuff. Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's, but the thing with the internet has shown that sort of every, you know, in 1990, you could do something. Oh, is that a bit, I wonder if that's a bit perverse, that thing I'm doing. And then you get, the internet came on. Oh, no. It really wasn't. It really wasn't. A, everyone is doing that. And B, no, that was not perverse. So it's sort of, human beings are very hypocritical, aren't they?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Think. Yeah.
But then for those sacrificial lamb, I mean, there's a lot of people, well, a lot of the ones didn't get caught and didn't get sacked who were doing the really terrible stuff. But like, it just seems, you know, poor old Frank Ruff, just because he like dressed putting on fishnet stockings and taking a bit of old nose cocaines.
There's so many of those who, yeah, the 90s, the tabloid victims. And Theakston was another one, right?
Yeah, but he bounced back, didn't he? But it was, you know, people, the reason prostitutes and sex workers exist is because people are paid to have sex with them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people doing it.
You know, they've spotted a gap in the market.
They've set a gap in the market from the beginning of time. Until now. Anyway, I feel sorry for Frank Boff, and it was a good joke though. Too many cokes. What do you think about that? Too many cokes.
Yeah, enjoyed that. Really,
that could have been on TV, couldn't it?
Works. Well, you said it could have been on Mock the Week, and some of the absolute feces they put out from me on Mock the Week, it definitely could have been. I could do that on Mock the Week now.
Well, it's good, you know. I'm glad he's died because it gave me an opportunity to do it again to a wider audience.
And I'm sure his family are very comforted by that.
Nesta Boff, his wife. I don't know if Nesta's still alive. There was Al Murray retweeted someone saying there was a teacher at school with a new class he didn't know very well going through the register, and so he said, Ian Bow or whatever, and he said, oh, actually, it's pronounced Boff. He said, oh, what, like the TV presenter who took coke and with all the hookers? He went, yeah, that's my...
Oh, God. Well, I went to school with Leslie Grantham's son.
Okay.
And that was an absolutely awful day when all that nonsense came out.
Oh, yeah.
Poor kids are so vicious. Like, someone put the Sun front page up on the notice board in the sixth form common room. And I seem to remember taking the moral high ground and removing that before anyone else came in, which is pretty good. But that Captain Hook thing was absolutely hilarious.
But Leslie Grantham also murdered someone.
Well, you know.
So that's worse than he
it's
actually
It's not like that came
murdered.
Out afterwards, right? You know, people knew that and then hired him for EastEnders. So he can't.
So then it's a weird. Isn't it weird the way some people, that's it? That's like, you probably shouldn't take a cane. You can never work it.
Yeah.
I murdered someone. Come on.
Yeah. Well, so you were protesting that at the time where you, when they were like, oh, he put his finger in his mouth, and you're going, yeah, that was his trigger finger.
I just think, you know, he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to people are allowed to do stuff. Stop having to go at people about stuff they're allowed to do and have a go about stuff that they're not allowed to do.
Yeah.
The bad stuff.
Anyway. So if you tune in just after this Twitch for 8 minutes, Richard will be masturbating.
If I want to sit here, pretend that I've left the camera on and masturbate, knowing some fat men in IT are watching me do it and slightly appreciate my technique. These lot would love it.
Oh, yeah.
It'd
be the front row from the Leicester Square Theatre, wouldn't it?
We had to put a Perspex screen up on the live gig just to stop it.
Oh, the Bill Murray, right?
Yeah, it was.
Done a gig there too. The reflection's off-putting, isn't it?
Well, weirdly, having done so much of this, it's exactly like doing this because I'm looking at a screen with my face on it all the time I'm broadcasting. So it's just literally looking at yourself on a screen, but, going, yeah, I'm comfortable with
it. But I found doing stand-up with a reflection right there quite disconcerting.
Weird.
Yeah, because, like, I do, you know, it was all new material, but in my head when I'm doing stand-up, I'm so good at act-outs and doing faces. And then when I was actually doing it, I could see myself. I was like, oh, no, you look just blank and vacant after every punchline, just desperate, just staring at the audience, waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
So maybe work on my stuff a bit more. Yeah, well, thanks. You know, you've seen it. Check it out. Amazon Prime, Blood Sugar. Thank you.
I'm glad you've realised that's good. Well, you know, that's a nice... Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should just perform our stuff in front of a mirror from now on. that's all we should do. Cool. Look, everybody should download all your million podcasts. There's too many podcasts to listen to, Ed. That's the thing.
No, but they're on a range. They're on a range of topics, Richard.
Yeah, so you don't go to listen. You choose the one you like. So I just ignored the heavy metal one because I thought that would definitely be shit.
I actually think the heavy metal one, if you enjoy sort of, if you like the art of podcasting and sort of documentary style stuff and interviews, the heavy metal one is possibly the best one because I had very little to do with how it's put together. But there's interesting interviews and amazing stories. So Lifers, that's called. That's on Spotify.
Well, I listen to two of your podcasts every week anyway. So I don't know if there's time to add.
That's fine. You don't have to do it. I'm letting your listeners.
Once Taskmaster's finished, I'm only listening to that to see what you'll slag off me about.
I've slagged you off so much on it already.
A lot. It's a lot. I'm very angry about it. I can't remember what I'm angry at. I can't remember what I'm cross about. I didn't think I was being that. I thought I was quite relaxed. There's lots of things that I didn't take issue with that. Like, there's a lot of injustice in those first couple of episodes, and it does get meted out. It's like VAR over the course of 10 shows.
But I do, I to be fair, I back you when there is injustice. So I think you were really undermarked for I'm trying to remember what's because
the magic you were undermarked. Definitely second.
And in fact, I think there's something coming up in episode 3 which you are undermarked for. Quite viciously, I think.
Happens a lot. He's against me. But then he does it. I thought it was cruel that Daisy didn't get the points for getting the eggs very close to that pan. I mean, she got a bonus point,
right? Yeah.
She should have got 5, but she got 5 points and we got 0. That's the thing. I see it. And then in that one, we'll talk about it on Taskmaster podcast, but it's the one where we did the treasure hunt. He gave 5 to the winners and 4 to us. And that was ridiculous.
It's because Greg is very sensitive when people on the internet lay into him and say he's not being harsh enough. So he always starts the series by being quite harsh and then relaxes because he's a nice man.
I feel the ones I did well on that got disqualified throughout the series where everyone got disqualified, which is the first task, everyone got disqualified. I was sort of the best on that one. That was I was first or second in that one. There's another one, one of the ones I was most proud of, and I got disqualified, and I was really... There is a point, I can't remember what it's about, where he says, if I say anything again, he's going to take all my points away from me. Have you seen that one?
I don't think I've seen that one yet, but he does that. He does that a lot. And also, I think your major mistake is you are very funny when you're angry, and it makes Greg laugh a lot. So... when you've got Greg laughing when you're angry, you know that it's kiss of death for points.
I thought I sat back. There was a lot really near the end. There's like a very contentious thing that happens, and I thought, no, the Taskmaster says that's the case, then that's the case. And I didn't argue my corner.
Yeah, but you know that's way more aggressive than even arguing it. Because you've crossed your arms like a little boy. You go, that's the case, that's the case.
It's a very good show. You should watch it if you're not watching it. Channel 4 on, whenever you want to watch it, really, isn't it? Because you've got catch-up TV now. But Thursday at 9 o'clock, I do a watch-along with it as well. But it is just me watching it going, I haven't got much to say. But I'm not going to do that every week, but I will probably do it tomorrow. Good. Well, listen to all those podcasts. Is it going all right? You had a nice lockdown?
A lovely time. Right? Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but... when all this happened, it did make me think, oh, I'm really glad I sort of put quite a lot into podcasts initially.
Yeah.
It feels like it's paid off a little bit to have diversified because...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because people have panicked and started podcasts now and it's like, we know what you're doing. Come on, we've been here.
Well, it's the choice between not being... I mean, most comedians are completely unable to work. And even if they, if you just come in and start a podcast now, it's not going to be a... way of earning money. It might be a way of getting some performing in, but you can't launch something now and expect to. It's you and I. I mean, obviously, I've been podcasting way longer than you before you even thought of the idea.
Don't even think about that, Richard Herring.
Well, you've been podcasting. So when did you start? 2006.
It depends what you. I mean, obviously, Ian Boldsworth was podcasting. Just before you.
Yeah.
But I probably only joined him on a regular basis after you had started podcasting. Okay. So, yeah, I think you beat me. You beat me.
Yeah. But,
but I stopped still, for ages as well.
But it's still 13 years. Yeah, but it's 13 years.
Yeah, it's a long time. It's a long time.
Of building up an audience.
Yeah, exactly.
Which has got us through this first lockdown. Let's see what happens on lockdown 2.
By lockdown 8, no one's going to remember us.
But, it's the internet's good. People should get involved. Other comedians should get involved. It's too late to save yourselves. But
yeah. You heard it here first. Richard Herring goes, the internet's good and you guys should get involved.
Give it a go. Twitch is good. Look, we're on TV. We're literally, some people are watching this on TV right now and we're on TV.
Twitch is honestly something I've not dipped a toe into yet, but it seems like a wonderful sort of Wild West world of experimentation.
Do stuff with ventriloquist dummies. I do an act with one of the acts in the show is this wasp that I found on my desk. That's become a character. A new thing. I'm having a breakdown.
That's the thing with new mediums is when it starts, There's a lot of shit. And then
that's Brian West.
It'll get narrowed down and the good people will start doing it.
It's a hoary horse. That's a witch's finger, witch's dick. That's from the Stone Clearing podcast.
Oh, you're not well.
There's a Panini album of the stickers you can get of me playing snooker in 32 personas.
I've seen you advertising that. Absolutely love it. Yeah.
Good. Right. I'm going to let you go back to your fiance. Have a serious discussion with her about your lists.
Yes.
Decide whether you still want to go. The nice thing about the wedding being postponed is you have a chance to think. And when I say you, I mean her.
Yeah, she's had a
Whether you really want to go through with it. Because it's a big commitment. You know, and a lot about one in two of them go wrong. So and mine's going well. So that means statistically yours is, you know.
Oh, so is it? It's between us, is it?
Yeah, it is. There's two people and they're both married. One of them's going all right.
All right, well.
I think it's going. You don't know. You don't know what's going on in there.
Well,
actually in there.
She says she's downstairs recording a podcast. You don't know that for a fact.
I don't know that. She could be doing anything.
Yeah.
She knows I'm up here behind my green. There's a screen in the way. She could be the other side of that screen kissing.
Kissing. She'll be kissing another boy and just going, don't worry, keep kissing me, because 8 minutes after it finishes, he starts having a wank.
Oh, it's always lovely to talk to you. You've been very respectful this time, and I appreciate that.
Was I not respectful the last times?
No.
No.
you put loads of stuff in my merchandise that was turning up for months. You put loads of
I signed a lot of your books, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. And then every now and again I'd be in Cheltenham or somewhere and people go, "What's this?"
That was the key. I had to sign some and then put them right in the middle of the pile.
Yeah. But luckily now we can't sell merch now because, you know, there's no one to sell it to. And I can't go out there and touch them, can I? Not allowed. Can't give them things I've touched.
Yeah, full of COVID.
That's changed the world. All right. Yeah, Hoary Horse says goodbye. See you, Ed.
Bye, Hoary Horse. Bye, Richard. Bye, everyone watching.
Thanks for watching. We've got Nell Scovell next week, who's an American scriptwriter who created Sabrina the Teenage Witch and wrote that Simpson episode about the one where he eats
the chili.
fish that kills that he thinks is going to die, the blowfish.
Oh,
I think she wrote that one.
That's great.
And worked with Gary Shandling and is fantastic. And it's a fantastic book. So come and watch that next week. And download John Robbins Talking to Me and get the extras at rahelisper.co.uk/300 in numerals. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you, Edward Gamble.
Thank
Goodbye.
You.
Bye. You have been listening to Rahelisper with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Ed Gamble. Thank you to Pest for providing this lovely soundtrack music for this end credits. It's delightful. I am indebted to my producer and good friend, Chris Evans, not that one, for all the hard work he puts into making this come true and appear. He hardly makes any mistakes. He's probably spelled Ed Gamble's name wrong on YouTube, but, you know, that's the least of his problems. Thank you also to everyone at Acast, thank you everyone at Twitch, thank you to everyone at the British Comedy Guide, and everyone who's helped me out over Ian Tunes, Ian Apple. Thank you also to Kathleen McKeegan, who provides research via her fantastic website, rahelisper.com. Worth checking out if you're an obsessive fan of the show. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Please go and make a donation to rahelisper.co.uk/Movember with a lowercase m if you would have enjoyed all this free content. If you haven't got any money, that is why it's free. Don't feel bad. Carry on listening for free. If you have got money and don't want to donate, don't feel bad either. It's out for free. Do what you like. Remember, all your Twitch money and badge money in November 2020 will also go to Movember. Please look out for each other. Good luck in this second long, long lockdown. If you think it's going to be a month, you're living in a fucking dream world.
Hold up. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
On Formative, middle school kids from New York City public schools interview a phenomenal collection of grown-ups.
Me, like, I don't know what I want to do.
You don't have to have all the answers.
I feel like a lot of people's favorite topics are, like, interest in their life.
That is a really good answer.
The podcast where the leaders of today are interviewed by leaders of tomorrow. Listen now at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.